red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga.
Hello, this is Genoa.
And this is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment, the quarantine throwback episodes. Hello.
Yes.
Since we don't have baseball, well, actually, I take that back because we're going to have a short season, but we are going to have baseball nonetheless.
But don't be any crowds.
Right. So in other words, we don't have baseball.
Right. So it will be the movie we're about to do. The baseball team at the beginning of their season had no crowds in the stadium. So it's almost like her real life is matching this movie.
Exactly. And the throwback movie that we are reviewing today is none other than the underdog baseball classic, Major League. And because we are reviewing Major League, we got a local in the house to talk about the movie. You know her as a fact checker sometimes. An all around good gal.
Wow. Thanks for that intro. My name is also Chrissy.
I'm about to say Chrissy. Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Chrissy Mothers. Woo! Woo,
woo, woo, woo. Oh my God.
All right. So how you feeling today, dear?
Just fine, dear.
All right. This is our first time joining us, so this is going to be fun.
Exactly, that's the right reaction to it.
So before we jump into what is Major League about, what happened in 89 when this movie came out?
All right, so April 7th, 1989. So the TV shows everyone was checking for, going from 5 to 1, was AFV, America's Funniest Home Videos, Different World, held down number 4. Cheers is still holding on in number 3. Roseanne was chipping at 2. And Huxtable Game was doing it with Cosby's number 1. And the number 1 song, and I thought this came out like earlier, and the Bengals, Eternal Flame. I thought that was like 86 or something like that, but yeah, that was 89. Interesting.
Interesting. I did, so in 89, I was a freshman in high school, and that was the year that New Kids on the Block were really popular. And I just remember being teased that I wasn't into them, but I was always told that they would last forever. And I would tell everyone that The Cure would have much more staying power than New Kids on the Block. And I would just like to say, I think I was right.
Agreed.
They lived on in our hearts forever, Genoa.
True. That makes perfect sense. So what is this movie about?
Well, this movie is about the Cleveland Indians, which is a professional baseball team, gets a new owner and purposely puts the team in horrible situations so that they will lose, so she can move them down to Florida.
Right. Now, this ragtag bunch of characters had a pretty solid all-star cast. Tom Berenger is your lead. He was a catcher. Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn, played by Charlie Sheen. He was your pitcher.
Before Charlie Sheen went a little crazy.
Yeah, this is pre like 2.5 Men. Charlie Sheen. Corbin Burnson, Rene Russo, Wesley Willie Mays, Hayes Snipes. Who else is in here? Who else is in here? What's his name? The Allstate guy. What's his name? Dang it.
You know, but all you've seen him in all the Allstate commercials, but Gregory Allen Williams? Is that it?
No. Dennis Haysbert. Yeah, Dennis Haysbert.
Yes, and his name in the movie is Pedro.
Yeah, Pedro Serrano.
He's from Cuba in the movie, so that he has dark religion that he prays to in order to get everything he needs.
All right. Yeah, he's always at odds with another player, named Eddie. He's kind of like this kind of conservative Christian, you know, everyone should love Jesus kind of guy. And him and Serrano always butt heads and, Eddie always, he's always doing things to piss off Serrano because Eddie don't believe in all of that, voodoo.
Right. It's like a cross between voodoo and Catholic religion. It's sort of like Santeria, but not Santeria. So, they never really say what religion it is, but he has some sort of like little troll doll.
Yeah,
and he eats snakes and chicken sacrifices.
It was a pretty funny. Yeah. So, you know, you see at the beginning, Tom Berenger, he's trying to get back to kind of his glory days, and the manager that he's known from like earliest career asked him to come in, you know, hey, we need you to kind of wrangle these new kids and, some of the veterans, and we need you to be the glue, so to speak, to get the team together. At the same time, you're seeing visually how the city kind of gave up on their team.
They never gave up on their team. They were just Cleveland sports fans. I don't think.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Do tell.
Cleveland sports fans.
Yeah. Look, we're allowed to have our opinions about our teams because we are Clevelanders. Everybody outside of Cleveland gets no say. Yeah. It's sort of like if somebody picked on your sister, you'd defend her to the teeth, even though you were picking on her yourself and like throwing her in the dryer or something each night.
Even if your little sister really, really sucked.
Yeah.
But no one else is allowed to pick on her.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Your family. Yeah. Nobody beat up my brother but me, type thing. Gotcha. So, did you guys see this movie in theaters and or was it on cable?
Why are you asking me that question? I don't remember the movie I saw last week.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Well, you're not representing your city very well right now. I mean, you have to like.
Okay, that's not fair. I've seen this movie multiple times.
Okay, well,
Do I remember it in the theater? No, because that was in 1989.
Gotcha. All right. I'll just check it. Because I say it came out in 89, and you know.
Yeah, so I was not that old.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Okay, Batman. Yeah, that came out of the year of Batman. I definitely remember Batman.
Did you see this at the theater, Yusuf?
No, because I was too busy watching Batman like 6-7 times that summer.
Okay.
What did it do in the box office?
It majorly did pretty good. I think it grossed like 49 million domestically. I mean, 89. It was considered a hit. It wasn't a huge budget, and it was definitely a modest hit for a sports,
A movie about a Cleveland sports team.
It was popular. It did sequel. It made, did the, what, two or three of them? I don't know. No one really paid attention after the first major league player.
Exactly.
So so we got the tension between the owner who want to sell off the team, and you have like the ragtag bunch that's really trying to find their like groove, so to speak, because everyone have these very distinct and weird personalities. But like I said, Tom Berenger is the glue that, in his own way, keeps the group together and keep them focused. And despite all of the resources that were not given to them, like, what was it? The hot tub. Yeah. So hot tub and airplane. Yeah. Just give them like the bottom basement of everything. They still like persevere and they manage to, win games here and there. And the wins catch on, with the city, and they're like, oh, wow, like, Denny's winning some games. Cool, And then the empty stadiums get a little fuller. Yeah, and they got a baseball.
See, but that's Cleveland. Like, they weren't even asking for them to win the World Series. They were just asking for a couple wins to get them close to 500, and then you saw the stadium filling up as they won more, but they were still not even 500 towards the end of the season. That's a Cleveland sports fan. They're still going to go see their team, even if they have a losing record, and they're going to support them. That's our factory of sadness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gotta put the image up of that particular statement. There's an actual picture.
It's for those that aren't familiar with this, it's a combination of the Brown Stadium, the Indians Field, and the Cavs stadium arena.
Yeah,
all kind of merged in together with our smokestacks, which is a nod back to our industrial history, and it's just called the Factory of Sadness.
There you go.
So we basically, like, the first half of the movie, it's watching a lot of, the torture that the baseball team is being put through from the owner, and them winning some games, but not really coming together completely as a team. And then the coach finds out that the owner is actually trying to make their life suck because she doesn't want them to win. And at this point, I think they're 30 games away from making it to the World Series or
the playoffs.
Yeah. And so to really motivate them, the coach brings in a cardboard cutout of the owner with like rip off things, to undress her for each game that they win. So he figures that they need to win 30 games in order to make it to the playoffs. So one thing I like about this movie, which is not based on reality, is that they only have to play one game with each team in order to make it to the next level. So, for example, the World Series, they only have to play against the Yankees once versus 7 different games, which is real life.
Well, it's actually just for the playoffs. That would just be to win their division.
Right. That was a division.
But I think this is why this movie is so brilliant, because who loves the Yankees? Everybody in the country hates the Yankees. Well, at that time, up until Boston became really annoying, they hated the Yankees. And so everybody could root, even if you didn't like Cleveland, you're going to rally behind this underdog team because nobody likes the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel like even when Boston became really annoying, people still hate the Yankees. It's just a general state of being.
Yeah. That's probably true.
That's true. Yeah, but it made sense that the Yankees would be the last rival, like, to topple.
Let me just, as an example, Yusuf is a Chicago White Sox fan.
That's right.
And we are bitter rivals because we're in the same division. Well,
I don't know about bitter.
He's never rooted for the Indians.
Unless they're playing, you know, the Yankees.
So even Yusuf, Mr. White Sox, Mr. Frank Thomas over here.
That's right.
Is still rooting for the Indians to win.
Yes, hey, you know, yeah, we're not, yeah. Although, like I said, the White Sox isn't bitter because the Indians are always coming to the White Sox. So how could it be that bitter?
Wow, you're gonna go there?
Just saying, you know, it's a lot of Indians players that leave somehow gravitate to the South Side and play for the White Sox eventually.
Yeah. And then where does Tommy come back to? Cleveland.
He was bored.
Okay. Anyway. Just kidding. Well, here's so the funny thing about Major League is in our little world, personal world, Yusuf and I had a very intense discussion about how the Indians won a World Series in the 90s. And the players that he's referencing that went to the Sox came from these 90 teams. There was like 6 years, there's like 3-3 where they were just really, really good. Made it to the World Series a couple times, just never won it. And this guy is trying to tell me the Indians won the World Series. And what I realized is he was thinking of Major League.
No, for the record, no. Yeah. Because I assume because the 90s Indians had such a deep batting order and such a deep, like, pitching order. I could have sworn they would have won. Like, you had just, okay. You had David Justice, who was married to Hallie for a minute. That's the only way I remember him.
We had
Omar Tomei,
Kenny Lofton. We had Jim Tomey.
That was an all-star squad.
No, that's the team I watched when I was living in Cleveland.
That was a squad everybody was pissed off. I'm like, damn, like Cleveland is like that now. Like, we're really bad.
But again, argued with me about how we won the World Series.
I was like, there's no way y'all wouldn't have won the World Series with a squad that also.
I was like, dude, I lived it. Don't you think I would actually remember if Cleveland won the World Series?
Yeah.
I don't remember much, but that was the thing I would remember.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So the director / writer of this movie, David S. Ward, actually wrote this movie because he figured the only way he'd actually see the Cleveland Indians win was if he put it in a movie.
Right.
Well, and that is how Cleveland is that everybody was so excited they just won the division. Wasn't even the World Series. Sure. Like, that's how much we just want to see our team win. It didn't even matter that they didn't win the World Series.
But it got to the
World. They just beat the Yankees to get to the division.
And if they did a sequel that picked up right after, like, that game.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would have been a different story.
But I will say, looking back, one thing that's very interesting about Major League is this owner wanting to move the team to another city.
Oh.
And although it wasn't the Indians, the owners of the Browns did move the team to Baltimore, and it was the most tragic thing that's ever happened in Cleveland sports history.
Yeah, was that,
well, we have some other things.
Was it Art? What was his name?
It was Art Modell, yeah. And it was, who's the Patriots coach?
Oh, Belichick.
Belichick was the coach then. And they basically, like, snuck the team away in the middle of the night. So maybe Major League was predicting this.
There's a fantastic ESPN 30 for 30 all about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Chrissy watched, well, she stomached it.
The one I watched was about the Cleveland, like, if you know anything about Cleveland sports, we have a lot of the's, like the shot, the drive, the fumble, the decision that define major moments in Cleveland sports history. And so it was about Cleveland not winning any championships. But then they had, at the end, they had to edit it because then the Cavs won.
LeBron
came back.
Oh, so, yeah.
Cool. I don't, if it was specifically about the Browns, I don't know that I saw that one.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. No, there's one specifically about the Browns being moved. in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, the city was traumatized. There was like a mall in downtown Cleveland that put up a countdown clock for when the Browns would come back, like, to Cleveland.
Wow.
And that was like it took 2 or 3 years for the Browns to come back.
That's crazy. So it was 2 or 3 years without football in Cleveland. That's dramatic in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I sympathize. I totally sympathize with that. You know, like, you guys been through the ringer, you know? Mm-hmm. But hey, LeBron gave y'all a little taste of something, you know, so can't get mad too mad.
Oh my God. Back to baseball.
All right, so standout characters. Wild Thing, Serrano, Willie Mays. Like those three.
Right. Well, so although this main the most important part of this movie is the baseball, they had to throw in like the side romance story. I'm just gonna say one or two sentences on that, and then we don't get back to this to the romance because I feel like it was thrown in there for the chicks were coming to the theater, and it's. Tom Berenger is hot for Rene Russo, and they used to date, and so there's all these like side scenes where he's trying to win her back, and she's engaged to someone else, and so he ultimately wins her back because they won the World Series, I think. So
the division playoffs.
Yeah, the division playoffs.
They never made it to the World Series.
There's still two more rounds.
Yeah, they had two more rounds ago. Yeah, well, even though, hey, who don't love Rene Russo? But yeah, I get what you're saying. I totally agree.
Yeah, we could have skipped all that.
We kept it baseball. That would have been better.
Yeah, so now going back to who are our standout characters in the movie, we have Ricky Vaughn, or the Wild Thing. He's an ex-con who gets recruited to be the pitcher. We find out halfway through the movie that he needs glasses, so he becomes like that bad boy with glasses.
Yeah.
Fun fact is that Charlie Sheen actually was throwing those ball, like the pitches in the movie, because he was, I think, recruited for college to play college ball. But in the movie, his character hits 101 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. In real life, he was only hitting 85.
That's still some good ease.
The next one, we can do Corbin Bernstein, whatever, who plays Roger Dorn. He's like an investment banker / baseball player.
Interior designer.
He plays your typical uptight white dude in the movie. Mm-hmm. We have Wesley Snipes playing Willie Mays Hayes.
Yep.
And he initially was not asked to come try out for the team. He snuck on for tryouts. And when they saw him run, they asked him to join the team. And his big thing through the movie is he steals a shit ton of bases.
Yeah. Well, he had to learn to get to the bases. Yeah.
He kept sliding.
But never get. He's always short to get to the base. Fun fact. Wesley Snipes turned down Do the Right Thing to be Willie Mays in Major League.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, you know, because that came out in 89. So he told Spike he's doing Major League, so he turned down the role. I don't know which role he was going to play, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he made it up with Spike later when he did Jungle Fever with Spike Lee. So it all worked out.
Right.
And who's the next one we got?
We have, Pedro Serrano, who we've touched on him a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He was the Cuban ball player who had the voodoo dolls in his locker. He gave him a little bit of whiskey before every game.
We all could use a little whiskey before and after games.
Yeah. Basically, like, he can hit a fastball, but he can't hit curveballs. So he keeps praying to his voodoo dolls in order to hit the curveball. And ultimately, at the end, he finally hits that curveball by realizing that he has the power in him. He should not be giving his power over to a higher being.
Right, exactly. Oh, all right, about that, fun fact. In 2016, the real Cleveland Indians set up a Jobu Shrine.
And if you follow Cleveland baseball, Mike Napoli and Kipnis were the right...
Yeah,
Kipnis are the ones that did it, and they're pretty loved on this the Indians when they're playing for them. So.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, so they set up a Jobu.
The other interesting thing is it wasn't actually filmed in Cleveland; mm-hmm. It was filmed in Milwaukee's old stadium. So, bummer for Cleveland.
Yeah,
totally on par.
I wonder, was it just like logistic problems with the Cleveland Stadium?
Know, like at that time, it would have been, I think, the Cleveland Municipal Stadium, and it was pretty old. I don't know why they chose to go there, but it may not have been like suitable to shoot it, just because it was pretty rickety.
I gotcha.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And then around that time, they were shooting Browns were doing playing preseason games. And I think they shared the same stadium.
They did. And then they both got their own stadiums.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was that.
And then we can't leave out the announcer.
Yes.
For the team. Who was it?
Bob Uecker. He was amazing. Probably the best character, in my opinion, besides the owner, because she was so easy to hate. And usually I'd be really annoyed that there'd be like an image of a naked woman in the locker room that the men are all like ugly. But she was so bad, like, yeah. You had to hate her.
Yeah, totally.
But fun. He was so great. So he actually used to play baseball, and then he became an announcer for many years, and he just nailed it. It was, especially in the beginning when nobody was going to the games and the stuff that he would just say. Oh man.
Yeah, they're just like drinking and in a booth.
Yeah, so he ad-libbed a lot of those lines.
Yeah.
The director just was like, do your thing. And he did.
He sure did.
Yeah, he was awesome. Kind of remind me of the late Fred Ward, may he rest in peace, when he was it Fred Willard? Yeah, Fred Willard. With a Best in Show, because he ad-libbed a lot of that, because he was announcing the dog show. And it's cool, especially when you're doing commentary. You don't want to have you want to have a guideline of what they're saying and what they're reacting to, but you shouldn't have like a script. You're like, okay, read the script or the reactions to the plays. It's like you're just leaving out funny, just off the cuff stuff.
Well, and that's what he does. Yeah. He did for a living, so he knew how to announce a game straight, like actually calling the game and all that kind of stuff. And this was just him playing off what he had already done for years. So.
Yeah. Oh, and back to Serrano. Did you know that he really hit that home run?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He is. So it's funny. This is one of those movies that was definitely on like USA or TNT or TBS all the time growing up.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it growing up, but like watching that movie in today's mindset of objectification of black characters. Oh my God. The way they treat Serrano, Pedro, is just the owner going around like touching Wesley Snipes' hair and then and slapping Pedro's ass. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, see,
I mean, like a slave owner, big time.
Hey, reverse harassment. You know.
I mean, that's not the only problematic thing. I don't think you can really talk about this if you're not going to address Chief Wahoo. And there are people, white people in the stands wearing Native American headdresses. Like,
yes, all of that.
That's problematic too. And I mean, obviously, I think that the Indians need to change their name. They used to be called the Spiders before. Like, it's kind of ridiculous to name a whole team after a people instead of I don't know what a typical mascot should be, but in today, I mean, there are a lot of problematic things in this that you can't avoid if you're looking at it through today's eyes. And then there's like all the nostalgia that comes back from watching it. And, you know, for a long time, that was really Cleveland's only win. That's what we had for a while.
Yeah. As we speak, by this recording, I believe the Indians organization is in talks now of considering changing.
Well, they did, because the MLB kind of put their foot down on this, is to allow them to have the All-Stars game in Cleveland last year. They had to phase out the use of the Chief Wahoo on the uniforms. And so I think they used to have them on their hats and maybe on the jerseys. They took them off the hats, and I don't know if they fully phased them out yet, but they should have. But I don't know that they're changing the name.
Well, there's a situation where they're going to sit down and talk about it. They're in talks. Let's just say they're about to be in talks. I don't know what will come out of these talks, but they're in consideration.
They've been in talks, about to be in talks for years. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, look, if the Redskins are I don't know. This could be it. Yeah. We'll see.
It might finally be the year. It may not be this week, but it may finally be the year.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't understand why they don't, because then they get to sell a whole new slew of new merchandise and make a ton of money off that. So, just in terms of revenue streams, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Now you're just thinking logically. Come on.
Sorry, I'll stop doing that. It is about sports, right? In our fandom. There's no logic there.
Okay, so our rating system is keep your ass on the sofa. It's fun to watch. Put your shoes on. You're not sure if you should watch the movie or brave the virus, or leave the house with no mask, and dear Lord, I'd rather die. so how do you guys rate it?
How do you rate it, Chrissy?
I mean, solely because I'm so it's a very nostalgic movie for me. I am an ass on the couch with the asterisk. I'm gonna put an asterisk on it because it is problematic in today's eyes. But yeah, I mean, I can't. If it's on, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, one is baseball. You know, it's, you know, two is, you know, it's sports. And, you know, three is a fun. It's just a fun. Okay. All 80s movies is problematic, right? If you really like break it apart, you're going to be like, you're going to see something in mostly all 80s films. So we could just kind of just write that off right there. But I think what that you have to really think about is like, when you see these movies, was it a mean spirit behind these movies that would just totally turn you off with some of these movies? And to me, like, this film did not have a mean bone in his body. I mean, it was a fish out of water, ragtag underdog story, you know, with characters that you laugh at, and, you know, the camaraderie with amongst the team. Yeah, I mean, it's just a good, fun, you know, underdog sports film. And for that, they definitely get a buns on couch.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we all three have lots of nostalgia for the movie, regardless of how, if it was filmed today, probably some of these things wouldn't be in there. In my mind, this is a family movie, but it, as it turns out, it's rated R. There must be an edited version out there because it played on like USA and TNT a lot.
Yeah. Oh, totally. So,
well, Genoa, your family rating standards, it could be a family.
Is it a soft R, a medium R, hard R?
I feel like it's a very soft R. You can watch it with your like 10-year-old kid and older. There's probably a lot of profanity in there, although I didn't hear any.
Yeah. It's a couple of F-bombs. But,
yeah, I don't know. There's not that much like gratuitous.
No.
Sex or nudity or anything right. like that.
And even when they, and even when they took the the cutout, they should have like pasties on and it didn't really show.
Yeah, and she has like pasties on. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It wasn't like it was a full boot, like cutout boobs. Yeah, so,
right.
Yeah.
So you disappointed?
Yeah.
It's ass on the sofa for me. And if anyone wants to watch this, you can, I think, rent it from Amazon or iTunes or something right now. So
yeah, and if you have basic cables, it will be
probably
on. Yeah, it will.
I think it was just on last week.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So yeah, there you have it, guys. Major League summer sports film. Even though things are funky with summer sports, this is a movie to go back to and keep back and have fun and think about the days when we could all get together and watch a game.
Right, and for all the Cleveland fans, if you want to watch your team win, watch this movie.
Yeah.
Well, win their division.
Yeah, well, they won. Winning is winning.
That's good enough for us.
Yeah, like Dom said, whether you win by an inch or a mile, winning is winning. Family. All right, that's all I got for you. All right, guys, until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
keep your fucking mask on.
Yes. Peace.